shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we know that when you were there with Israel in the great Exodus, showing yourself, proving yourself, actually manifesting yourself in a manner which has not occurred to the people again, they seeing that great pillar of fire upon the mountain. And it was a marvelous time, we know, because there was such, not just the revelation, but the fact of the matter that was the actual reality, not just revelation of that reality. And they had a marvelous time, we know, going, and yet it was still fraught with danger. There were still trials, tribulations, there were still testings. There were still proving your people whether they would believe and go on. And we realize that's the same today. It's really no different that you are here and yet you made yourself invisible, but it doesn't matter because we know that you are here leading your people. Help us to take in stride all the trials and all those things that come our way, that we may be with great happiness and yet great sobriety. I know that we're on the marching road and we're on the upward track now, and soon there will be a bride that is out of here. Help us to realize, Lord, that's the great important thing, that you have shown yourself. We know that you are true. We know your word is true. Therefore, no matter what befalls or comes, we know that all men are now without excuse, that we have to stand on that solid rock, and standing there we'll be able to enter in. May we realize these things than ever before as we study your word, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 16 of leadership, and since we actually read just practically two paragraphs only, wherein Brother Branham was setting forth choice in life, or various choices that confront us all, the first being education, the second being conduct, we're going to simply read them again and go on. And now in reading his treatment of the choice called conduct, do not forget, except at your own peril, that this is his last message, wherein God himself is confronting the people concerning their conduct and their position, which should be hot, cold, or lukewarm, whichever before him, according to what we read in Laodicean church age. And after this message is over, there is no further message from God. So we ought to beware that the signs are all in when it comes to manifestation and vindication concerning God's relationship with the bride and with the world, and those things that we surely and most assuredly have to know. So, all right, just simply reading here and making a few remarks as we look at Scripture. He said, you have a choice of your conduct. And he said, I'm going to hurt just a little bit here, see. You can go out and let your hair grow down and be a beetle or some of those ignoramuses. Now, of course, you understand he's speaking to the people there, though there is a tape. His voice is not going up by telephone and so on, or any other way. And he is giving them the opportunity of making a change at that particular point. Now, we know that God allows a time for repentance. Then afterward, when that time expires, it's like Esau, who sought it carefully with tears. He made a tremendous change inside. He certainly became highly emotional, highly reverent, absolutely the fair-haired boy of the community, spiritual-mindedly, but it's too late. Now, this is what you're looking at here in this last message. There were no doubt people sitting there who had their last opportunity, this confrontation with God. Or he said, you women, you can look like a decent human being, or you can be one of those weird creatures that we have out there, those blued eyes, the water head. That's a bouffant-style haircuts and things that are completely against the Word of God, which is absolutely contrary to such as that. Now, of course, we know that there are those who would debate that. And, of course, these so-called great astute students, and we have them amongst us, and I'm not going to be too hard on them, they say, well, show me in the Word. Well, when you have a vindicated prophet, under the control and power of Almighty God, and so proven, he doesn't have to run Scripture by Scripture. He is the Scripture, because he's the judge. The judge doesn't have to go through every law and every book. He simply says, this is what it is. And if you don't like it, you go to jail. And he doesn't care if you go to jail and rot. That's just your tough luck. If he says $1,000 fine, you only got a nickel, and you'll sit there for the next 10 years, that's your tough luck. See, many people do not understand this very simple truth, that God is his own word, and God is the word, so the Rhema Logos is one and the same on the grounds, if there should be one iota of God's word changed, then God himself has changed. If you don't have a word, you don't have a God. If you have a God, you have a word. And of course, you must have the correct revelation. And that revelation has to come by vindication. So here is what you are seeing here. And these people, of course, do not want that. They don't want it any more than when Jesus preached his last sermon. There's no difference whatsoever. Except at this particular time, time runs out completely for the Gentiles, a very short time for Israel, and then the bride comes back with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in judgment and fire and blood upon this earth to take over, to establish through ruthless power and blood a reign of peace. I've often said that if I had my way as a person and I wanted to cure the problems in America, I would no doubt start at Washington, D.C., taking the churches and mostly the government there, and I would find myself ending up with just about killing 99% of the population, and I would have to include myself. Well, might as well just leave it to God, and he's going to make a perfect sweep at the end time when the saints will walk upon the ashes of the wicked. And that is all there is going to be at that particular time. Now, these people here, according to Brother Branham, are cannon fodder. They're the chaff that are to be burned. But they do not recognize that. And they will not take into account that this man vindicated says, you're the way you're making your faces up, the way you're doing your hair, all of these things prove who you are. Now, right off the bat, it's the same old story. Listen, you can't tell a book by its cover. I beg your pardon. This is a different thing entirely. This is under vindication and scrutiny by Almighty God. And you see discernment, which he did discern at the end of this service, proving every single point. So he said, absolutely contrary to the word of God, what you are doing, so that no woman can offer a prayer to be accepted to God. So these women are praying, and they're saying, well, that's a laugh because we're getting answers to our prayer. We're gifted, and we really have everything wonderful. We lack nothing. Everything is ours, and we are everything with it. So how come you're saying that? But you see, they don't know the Scripture. They don't study the Scripture contingent to the Exodus. Now, don't pretend for 1 minute that when Brother Branham spoke of the second Exodus at the time of Jesus Christ, that we qualify under any condition as part of that, except in a very minor spiritual way. You have to go right back to Moses. And in there you will find much of the story in the Psalms. And in the Psalms you will find where God in his goodness vindicated himself to the people. They rejoice for a while, but they go right into idolatry, right into paganism. And the Bible tells them distinctly that when they screamed for flesh and they weren't to have it because it wasn't for them, God finally sent the quail several feet deep. And of course, they were just so happy to have it, they began ripping the feathers off and eating the flesh with the blood still in it fresh. And God killed thousands of them. And God could have killed every single one of them and actually only taken in a couple of people, if even then, because he told Moses at that time, look, I brought them out and they're not worth bothering with. What I'm going to do, I'm going to destroy the whole cotton-picking bunch, and I will take you, and you can marry, and you can bring up a fresh family. That's the condition there is today. Same condition. God let them have the desires of their hearts, but he sent leanness to the soul. Now remember, the soul is where everything counts. Nothing else counts. It's that soul. So they found leanness in there. And you will find, after Brother Branham's demise, his departure, there's only one thing left, and that is for judgment to come upon the world, which it is fast coming. One of which, of course, is, and we know, the great problem with AIDS, which is what comes forth 100% from illegal intercourse, which types idolatry, showing the world is an idolatry. So that even today the Branhamites have turned from the Trinitarianism to oneness, which is Jesus only, not even known. All the places Brother Branham has quoted, that there's a Father and there is a very wonderful, one-of-a-kind Son, equal with Him, and we're not equal. All of us put together, if God were to divide Himself, you would find that Jesus would be 50% of God, and all the rest would be 50%, the other 50%, but God hasn't done that. But when God divided the inheritance, remember, Jesus being equal with God, thought it not a prize to be grasped, retained, but made Himself a reputation, and took upon Himself the form of a man, just the same as you and I had to. And we were in that same ideated form, ideation of God, to step forth into a spirit body which we bypassed and are now here through human instrumentality, which He bypassed a human instrumentality that came through flesh. And that makes Jesus wasn't a Jew, as many people try to make people believe that He was. He wasn't. He was the last Adam, the second man. He had nothing to do with the other. All right, these people don't understand these things. Now he said, you can't even offer a prayer to be accepted. Now, you can carry that a step further. They say, okay, we certainly here are in a position to ask and receive, and we're doing it. But they themselves are not accepted. From this point on, they could call all they wanted. Having refuted the prophet and turned him down in God's own confrontation, and God is calling the shots. And He's calling the shots on how they look, what they wear, and what they're doing. So they're not accepted. No, they refuse, as Brother Branham said, further spiritual intercourse with God. So therefore, like Ahasuerus, he boots out the queen, and he brings in Esther. Everything here you're seeing fulfilled in the Word of Almighty God. Now, women type the church, and this is the thing you must look at and understand. Now, he said, no prayer can be accepted. That's the truth. Exactly right. That's what the Bible said. But what happened to you, church? You've seen so much television and seen so many things of the world. It's so easy for you, for your old Adam nature, to drift into that and act like the rest of them. Now, I don't know if I'm 100% right I'm going to do here. But when he said your old Adam nature, that takes me back to Adam. So I'm not going to do too much other than look at Adam. And I look at Genesis 1, 26, 27. And God said, let's make man their image after a likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the land, fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in His own image, and the image of God created him, male and female created he them. Now that's pretty wonderful. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon it. Now notice the word subdue is in there. And you'll notice also that Adam had that complete responsibility, and he had the complete privilege, he had the complete ability to do so. But you notice it's in 1 Corinthians 15 that it really starts to get fulfilled. And that subjection comes by Almighty God Himself to once more have a place where the bride, the true children of God, can be reinstated with the true headship, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, with that we go to Genesis, the second chapter, and verse 15, the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden, address it, and to keep it. And, of course, then in verses 19, 20, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave them names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field, and for Adam there was not found an help meet. Now, we can see a little picture from that over here into the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter. And beginning at verse 7, it says, "And talking the sowing of the seed, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. He had ears to hear, let him hear." And so they wondered what this mysterious thing of the kingdom was, and Jesus told them that they would be able to understand because he would tell them. And he says in here, "To you is given the ability to hear." And it says in verse 14, in the people that cannot hear is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. "Hearing you shall hear and not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. Verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which you see, and have not seen them, but to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them." Now you notice right in there, there's two groups of people, and they're seeing the very same thing and hearing the very same things. And one positively can't get it, the other do. One can, the other can't. But the same thing is before each one of them. Now, these two people are not served up two different plates of soup or stew or food in due season. It's one. There are not two words given. There's one word given. The foolish virgin, don't do anything about it. They're nice people. Passes over the head and they die in the second resurrection. Those that are serpents, see, do something about it. They hate it. And they come against it. And they're no different from their father, the devil. Now let's look at the father, the devil. He was up there with Jesus in the form of Michael at that particular time. And he was leading in the worship with Jesus of Almighty God. And he was equal. But he wanted to be more than equal. Now here he was at the same place as Jesus in the form of Michael. It's a mystery, but it's true. He was an archangel at that particular time. And so was Satan. And here they were, in the very presence of Almighty God. Now, what did Satan want to do? He wanted to usurp complete authority. He changed the form of worship. He changed the word of God. And he took the power of God and denigrated it and did evil with it. You understand what I'm saying? Well, let me give you some scripture. All power is of God, period. You hear what I said? All. A-double-L power. Satan doesn't have any. No, certainly not. He's allowed it. And it's God. God's own power, just like Judas. Now here's what you're seeing right here. You're seeing two groups of people. They're both claiming to have something from God. These people, their creeds and dogmas, their traditions. Jesus said, "You're your father, the devil." So what do they do? They'll do what Judas did. Absolutely take the power of God and use it against God. And they'll burn. They'll be annihilated. Now, don't tell me there's a difference, because there isn't. After Malachi 4 with Elijah, everything burns. They become ashes. And the ashes are not placed in an urn. No. At best, they're fertilizer. If you can think that ashes make good fertilizer, that's all right by me. Brother Branham cannon called him cannon fodder. All right, we're reading along here to how far do I want to go? Well, we'll go a little down a little further. Now he said, "This people's hearts is waxed gross," and so on. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them." In this meeting, the righteous men of 2,000 years have waited for William Branham to come and have a meeting like they had right there in Covina. So I really don't think that's it, Brother Bale. I'm thinking this. Well, you're thinking wrong, see? You're wrong. You're falling right into the group of whom Brother Branham said If you say, if I'd have been there when Jesus was on earth, I wouldn't have crucified him. He said, you were the guy that would have done it. Yeah, live, die, sink, or swim, God, I don't even need you because, boy, I can manage. So that spirit could be in your heart right tonight. Well, let's keep reading. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches it away. Ask you a question. Do you think Eve really understood? No. To whom should she have gone? To her husband. To whom would he have gone? His headship, which is God. What was sown in the hearts caught away. This is he that received seed by the wayside. He that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that hears the word and in all joy receives it. Yet hath no root in himself, but endureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by is attended. How many ever got that book by this fellow called Moore out there in Tucson that believed Brother Branham was coming back in a great big vindicated tent ministry, which is fine by me. I got no problem with all those things. But thoroughly misunderstanding the prophet, Brother Branham did not say it at all over in 1977. He said it could be, but it sure have to happen in a hurry. The events weren't in. He took that after having written volumes of quotes, quotes, quotes that drive you crazy. Misquoting when you put it out of context. And then he turned on Brother Branham and wrote scurrilous letters in the paper. He was happy. What's going to happen to all those that follow Joseph Branham and Joseph doesn't want them to follow them? But they keep on screaming, waving his photograph and everything else. I don't care about he's a fine boy. And my Joseph Branham can raise the dead. Put him in God's pocket. He's still not William Branham. Amen. Elijah, Malachi 4, 5, and 6. I don't care how good anybody is. I don't care who he is. There's no dynasty. William Branham can be the greatest prophet ever lived. There's the great one. Caught by the light of the camera in the pillar of fire. Notice no root. No root. How deep are your roots tonight? That's the question this church must ask itself. How deep are your roots? Is this word something you can leave for? Someone gets offended, a little family affair, a little thing here, a little division here and there. Or someone come behind my back and coax you away. Especially on tithing. Oh, we've got to be careful who we give and what we give. I don't take your money. Not a red nickel. I can preach anything I want here. How deep are you? Can you be offended? Well, if you can, I'd go before I learn too much, because to whom much is given, much is required. That goes on the tapes. You think I'm not aware? I can read my Bible, you can read yours. Offended. Easy to get offended. But the point is to still stand there when you are. If a man didn't have a cross, he didn't have Christ. Also, he that received the seed among thorns is he that heareth the word and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. He becomes unfruitful. Could that be all about Eve and Adam, especially Eve? Could that be Eve, the church, that played the prostitute? She promised something a whole lot more than the Word of God promised her. Satan promised her outside of the truly revealed Word of God there was life, and he was a liar and he knew it. Do you know the minute she stepped behind that word, she had the sentence in it? Now, why am I saying these things? I'm saying these things because Brother Branham told us He said, I'm very, very fearful for this people. Lest they let the cares of this world and other things so entice them from not just the reality of the word, but the preeminence thereof. Now let's be honest. The diamond is supposed to be the great gem. There's not one woman here in this congregation, not one man, ever gave you a 3-carat diamond. Anybody got a 3-carat diamond? I'll take that back and make it 5. No, you never gave a 3-carat diamond. No, you esteem it. And you look at it. And you know it's there and it's wonderful. But you haven't got it. Is that the way this message is? Oh, it's a great message. Brother Branham spoke on the token. They said, yes, Rabbi, I believe that's right. Shed the blood, put it on the door. And, oh, yes, that's right. But he said they didn't put it on the doorpost. When the call came from one woman to another and said, let's go to the dance, let's go here, let's go there. She said, no. No, no. I'm under the blood. You know why she's under the blood? Because she believed the word that judgment was coming. The blood in itself wasn't it. The blood was only there because of the word. How much blood is applied to anybody's heart outside of a word? I got the blood and disbelieved Paul's gospel? You might as well take the blood of a rooster and sprinkle it on yourself and say, hey, this is just as good. That's what Mary Baker Eddy said, the blood of the rooster is just as good as the blood of Jesus Christ. Another person said the blood of Jesus Christ in his veins, no different from what was shed. Forget it. This is what people are looking at. This is Brother Branham looking at these things this particular time. So when he said your old Adamic nature, looking way back there, I have to go back. And I see where, when they were placed in the human bodies, and they were given dominion and given a charge, and they were furrowing the earth and caring, did they have time for meditation, or were they so taken up with making a living? See, that's the hardest thing for people to understand when I talk about tithing and learning to give. To really give from your heart on a spiritual principle. So few even learn this much. And if you don't handle the unrighteous mammon, who'll commit the true riches to us? Handling the unrighteous mammon is never doing anything in excess. It is doing what the Word of God says to do with it. Now, Adam and Eve were not told to populate the whole world by themselves. They were started. They were not told to plow up the whole world. They would merely start. They were not told to prune every tree and to get so busy. They didn't take time for God in the cool of the evening. It's strange, we get carried away with so many things. We simply don't take time to meditate and to feed on the word of the living God. And this is why we see so many extraneous things constantly creep in. Because as one man said so very, very truly, if you do not make the church excited spiritually, leaving to themselves, they'll soon be excited in the world. And this is what I see is what Brother Branham is saying here. In the face of a vindicated message, in the face of coming face to face with reality whereby they can step from the looking glass like Alice into the looking glass. Or as Brother Branham said, there was a time it was death to enter beyond the veil, and now it's death if you don't. But they evidently didn't believe. May I repeat this again, he says. It's kosher. In other words, the eating of the dietary laws. And there were dietary laws in the offering because you ate of the same offering. You ate of the altar. The atonement in the days of Moses. Now, atonement means that which is given in order for God to overlook sin, to atone for it, A remedy's been made. Expiation has been made. Something has been done in order to counteract or give the privilege. So therefore, the expiation in the days of Moses, when Moses brought the children out, there were to be 7 days that there was to be no leaven. That's dietary law. Among the people. And remember, Brother Branham is quoting, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Anyone knows that. In Exodus, no leaven shall be found in your camp at all 7 days. That 7 days represented the full 7 church ages, Old Testament and New Testament. Why? Because God can't change. Or His word change. Or His ways change. As Brother Branham said, if God had one thought, then had another better thought, that's not God. If God did it one way and then found a better way, that's not God. Okay. Now, no leaven. Now, what is that? No creed, no world. Now, what is he telling you? He's telling you there's two worlds, and they're religious. And you notice that the religion of all the worlds, and there's religion everywhere. Just don't think there's 3 major religions. And right off the Taoists and the Buddhists and every cult and every ism, they're religious. Even if they're nature lovers, they're religious. Now he says here, one word off, Brother Branham said, is Satan's kingdom. One word off is no longer true religion undefiled. One word off. See? Because it went off in the garden, one word. Evidently got too busy for God. Now he said, no creed, no world. Creed means world. You can't separate creed from world. See? In other words, loving the world. How did it really start? It started by loving the creeds and dogmas. Jesus said, if you love the world, or the things of the world, the love of God is not in you. All right? So there again we find creed and world are literally synonymous in the mind of the prophet. So we go to Matthew 24, where Brother Branham took us so many times, and we can see, as we saw before, 27 and 28, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shines to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now it tells you right there, the coming of the Son of Man is as the light that came from the east to the west. And Brother Branham actually quoted perfect history. The light has always moved from the east to the west. There was a very minor move from Jerusalem to the east, and it died and dried up 100% and then came all the way west. And that was the light because it's vindicated by the ministry of the Son of Man. And he said, wherever the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered. In other words, the eagles of God will be gathered absolutely to the Word of God. And remember, Brother Branham called it a fresh kill. It had to be a fresh message. And you notice every time a fresh message comes, it's crucified. See? Now, he says here, love not the world nor the things of the world. You see? Now we're trying to mix that. You can't do it. You've got to come to one thing to believe. You're either going to believe God or you're going to believe the church. You're going to believe the world. Now he puts the church and the world together. Because now what do we have? We have a confrontation of God with everybody and everything. Now, don't think for 1 minute that God is not confronting the bride. He confronts the bride. And what he does woos her. What he does draws her. What he does makes the other people do what Satan did. Ha! I can take this power and use it. Oh, yes. And they do. They have their father, the devil. And they worship God. But in so doing, they worship, they point to themselves to become the channel. That's why Satan was the greatest antichrist of all. Because he was going to be the Messiah. Don't worry, he's not so stupid. And won't be till the very end when he gets everybody in his trap to say, now you worship me. He's going to point everybody to God. That's what the Pope is doing right now. He's proclaimed himself and will be head of the 3 monotheistic religions, the great ones. And he's already identified himself with witchcraft and voodooism. Oh, they'll come running. They'll love him. And the Jews already made their concord with him. And remember, they have all the paper, and Rome has all the gold, and they will get together. Everybody's going to be happy, 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 happy. Oh, yes, commerce will flow. Everything's going to be great. And then the boom gets lowered. Sure. When the world finds out what Israel had all the paper and Rome had all the gold, you watch how they're going to be hated. This whole thing has come to a head and people don't even recognize. How do you know it's come to the head? Because headship has come. Brother Brandon said, didn't say headship is to come. He said headship is here. So either you believe him or you don't believe him. So, Brother Bailey, I can't see him. Who asked you to see him? What did you improve on Deuteronomy 18? What sign have you got except the sign of stupidity? You belong to the SSS, super, super, super stupidity. Is that what it is? Goose-stepping with the man that helped release 200,000 devils at the River Euphrates with Stalin? Is that what's going on? I just throw this in to sort of jar you. But just put your thinking cap on. You can't mix it. You come to one thing. Now, what did he say? He said the confrontation was with one person, which was God. The confrontation is not William Branham. The confrontation is not even word against creeds and dogmas. The confrontation is it God or isn't it God? From that time on and that time only, can you say this is the Word of God and that is not the Word of God? If you don't recognize God, why should you believe what's coming out? Give me one reason. He said this young man confronted the author of eternal life. In fact, he even went further. He said the person of eternal life. And the only one that could lead you to himself. Oh, hallelujah, we're led to God. We got the church, we got the Pope, we got this, we got smart teachers, we got this. You got nothing. Wretched, miserable, blind, naked. You know that's insanity? That is insanity. I kid you not. What if a bum came walking in here with, like we saw this old guy called Scotty back in Canada years ago. He had gunny sack wrapped about his feet poking out. He was an old bum derelict. So, hey, I'm worth $1 million. Yeah, you and who else? No, they don't have a thing. You've got to come to one thing to believe. You're either going to believe God. Now, you got to believe he's here. You ain't going to believe that. Or you're going to believe your church that is here. And they're such nice people. Or you're going to believe the world. You cannot mix it together. And you can't hold to those old things of the other church ages. And that's particularly the last three, though Rome goes back further. Can't hold to that. You've got to take the message and the hour. Now, why doesn't he say the message of the hour? Well, because they don't know the hour. They don't understand Ephesians. Take any book you want and find any man that you have on your mind or can find somebody to tell you what Ephesians 1:17 is. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and a revelation of the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what's the hope of his calling, the riches of glory is inherent in the saints. Now these people are already full of the Holy Ghost and they don't know that. Now when are they going to know it? The hour God puts that spirit in the church, which is his own spirit. When God himself comes down. They don't even know that God comes down. Ask them who came down. They say, the Lamb. The Lamb did not come down. Merciful God, if the Lamb came down, everything's burnt. And we missed the wedding supper. If the Lamb came down, the whole Bible's a lie. What do you think of that? Because it went to seed and it sure didn't bring up what was written. I remember years ago one time I got some seed. I can't remember just what it was. It was some flower seed. Oh, the pretty, pretty flowers on the package. And I knew that particular type of flower. So I planted them. What did I get? I didn't get that. I got the ugliest credit of things I ever saw. You better be careful with the word of God, because what you plant comes up. Be not deceived. What a man sows, he reaps. Just that simple. You've got to take the message and the hour. In other words, there's a message for the hour. They never took it. Now we're reading on. He said, "What?" This is the kosher. Now this is the law, the dietetic laws of the eating of the sacrifice. Now remember, Christ is our sacrifice. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Remember the word. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by the word of God. So therefore, eating the emblems without the word works against you. We must understand that. What was left over, don't let it stay till morning. To come to this other age, burn it with fire, be destroyed. Now, Brother Branham is giving something here that they don't have a clue. And it is, of course, difficult to understand. But when he explains it on the ground of how the light passes from the original seed, root-wise, into the blade, from the blade into the stalk into the forming of the grain, which is the little pistils and things that hang in there, giving the pollen, coming up to the end, that light passing on. And remember, the Bible does speak of it as wheat, as well as a tree. So we must watch that very carefully. Now he said, you burn what was left over. And that's exactly true. What was not eaten was burnt with fire. It was to be destroyed. And Brother Branham also said, comparing the word to meat and living tissues and that which people eat, he said, when you leave things out there, pretty soon it's full of wiggletails. It's no good anymore. In other words, there is a message for every age. Now, how many people do you think really believed Brother Branham? Do you think his friend Jack Moore did? By no means. He didn't have a clue concerning the seven church ages in Laodicea where Brother Branham came as Malachi 4. He just said, well, if I really believe that, which he believed John the Baptist was, Elijah. Why, he said, I'd give Brother Branham my vote, but he didn't give him his vote, did he? Now you see, you speak evil of the dead. I don't speak evil of the dead. I'm giving you his testimony. Couldn't be shoved in the housetops anyway. Nothing against the man, fine man. But he blew it. See? You burn it with fire. In other words, when, as Jesus said, word of God tells you, no word shall pass away till it's fulfilled. When the word is fulfilled, and of course it's passed away. That's why, especially at the end time, these ages are important to us. Now, he said that the age that you're living in, the message of this age, it's got to be brought out of the scriptures and vindicated and proved by God that it's God doing so. Then you either receive that or reject it. Now see, he lays it right on the line. And remember, every single time in his healing line, he had a line of discernment to prove he was vindicated of God to bring the word. Now you can see, as never before, that if you aren't seed, it doesn't matter if they take a 4x4 club and beat your brains out, then beat them in again, that you'll see anything if you weren't predestinated to see it. If you're not seed, you're never going to see it. Now reading it again. What was left over? This is the law of the atonement. The eating thereof. What was left over, don't let it stay till morning. True. To come into another age. Burn it with fire. It's destroyed. It's gone. The life is passed on. Sure, that's right. You can understand that. that the age you're living in, the message of this age, it's got to be brought out of the Scriptures and vindicated and proved by God that it's God doing so. In other words, he's saying this, you people want to know what you're eating, and you claim to know what you're eating, the Word of God, but you're not, because in this age, it's got to come forth vindicated. Oh, say, don't tell me vindicated, bless God, I'm born again, I'm speaking tongues. Hey, my forefathers never saw this wonderful experience of baptism, the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, but hallelujah, I got it, and then they speak in tongues to show you. Well, that shows you right there, they ain't got it. They got a superfluity of idiocy. Oh, I've seen them do it, froth the mouth to prove they got a point. If you think Pentecost, by and large, as organization is not chaff, there's something wrong with your thinking. I should tell you right now. You don't believe the gift of ages is over. Not that the gifts are gone, but they're under perfect control. With somebody at the door that understands and has the gift of discerning the spirits. See? He said, you either receive that. What? The message vindicated as a true revelation of the Word of God, because it comes out of there based on it, or you reject it. That's eternal life, leadership of the Holy Spirit leading His church. Now you know, especially in Pentecost, the so-called leadership of the Holy Ghost is almost always by manifestation. And they don't care two bits about the Word unless somebody makes a great big fat boo-boo. I've seen him in meetings. Someone gets up and prattles off. Everybody, oh, we're going to get some great thing now. And suddenly he lays an egg. A million miles off of Scripture. So the preacher starts singing, take the name of Jesus with you. And the meeting's over. Well, that's at least that much. Brains. Now, no life outside of the Word. They say no life outside of God. But God and His Word is one. If you don't believe it, I got strong concordance right there, stay after church. We'll go through every single place where the word is Rhema and Logos. It's every single time where it's interchangeable. You can't do it. Can't change it. The very Greek proves it. All right, let's go to the next page. He said we could stay a long time on that, but let's move on. Let's just keep moving. The choice of your conduct. Well, he doesn't really move on. Like they think he's going to, he keeps on going on. You can't mix it now. Now watch. You're either for God or against God. That's live, die, sink, swim. Or swim or drown. See? Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about the age, the hour, and the message of the age or the hour. Now, Brother Branham does not particularly, emphatically use the word age. He uses particularly, emphatically, the word hour, because an hour is a part of the age. And this is the hour what? The Son of Man. And the Son of Perdition. This is the hour of the appearing. This is the hour of total revelation. That which is perfect has come. This is a perfect revelation and restoration of Paul's message. 100% for the people of this hour, and it goes to everybody, even right to serpent seed. The choice of your conduct, he said here. Now, let's go over here to Matthew 12. And in verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scatters abroad. In plain English, if you preach anything but the unadulterated, truly vindicated, revealed truth, you are fighting God and you're scattering against Him. And who did that? The 13th chapter of Matthew explains that a sower went forth to sow good seed. And an enemy came and sowed another seed called the tares, which were the children of the devil. Now, if you for 1 minute then say, I cannot reconcile myself to being word and the bride word upon word, what are you sitting in this church for tonight? Because I've just given you all the scripture for it. The sowing that God sowed was perfect word. We are word children. We bypassed our word body, our spirit body. We got thrown into a physical body to be tested and tried. And sin entered, and death by sin. But we always were saved. And there was a chance you're ever going to be lost, because before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was already slain. So how can you be in debt if all your debts are paid before you've made them? Good question. Kind of boggles the mind when you think that, don't you? But let it boggle your mind, because it's still the truth. So he says here, he that is not with me is against me. Young man, are you coming with me? No, you're against me. Now, I'm against you. Now, what happened to that young man? He immediately began to sow against him. So they left Brother Branham's meeting to sow against him. Ah, that trap. Yeah, that guy. Get the Kentucky hillbilly. Who does he think he is? It's a big difference when you know who he is. What do you think of the people that kept going by a great rock out west? It was a great big lump, like a big boulder sitting there. Everybody went by. How many? Nobody knows. One day the sun hit it just right to a certain guy, and he said, hey, what about that rock sitting there? That's a true story. I can't remember what it was. But he was a millionaire by just stopping at that rock. Because it was an opal or something, I don't know. And that's like the Bible said, the man knew there was a treasure in the field. He went and bought the field, gave it everything he had, even borrowed. He said, I'm going in debt to my eyeballs and over my head, but I'm going to have that treasure, and he got it. Boy, what do you think the fellow felt like when he sold his field? What do you think this fellow felt like when he woke up in hell? Because he did, you know, in torment. And he said, Father Abraham, I should have some help. Well, he said, I'm sorry, there's no way I can do it. Give you any help. So, all right, we're looking at that, aren't we? Now, let's not forget Galatians. Even the president quotes this. I don't know why he bothers. He just condemns himself. He says he's a stupid man to do it. Sixth chapter. Be not deceived. Don't fool yourself. Don't be an idiot. Don't think you can bluff God and get away with it. God's not mocked. I can mock God. Can you? You'll find out later. You can't mock God. What? What a man sows, he shall also reap. What did this man sow? Unbelief. Turn down God. He had a sowing of turning down God, rejecting. The only one to lead him to eternal life, what he wanted. So when eternal life himself appeared to lead the way to himself for this man, he said, I don't want it. That's what he sowed. That's what he got. Now, what if we sow right? Can you miss? No way. No way. For he that soweth the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, like this fellow did. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. It tells you. You've got to make a sowing. You've got to make an investment. And the investment is, that's real. Live, die, sink, swim. What comes out of it, I believe. The die has been cast. Now, if you see I believe that, and you question the very things that Brother Branham taught. Oh, come on. Who are you kidding? We got them all over the place. They can't even read anymore that God has a son. And he's a human being. He's a man. He's a high priest. If he's a high priest, he's got to be a man. Oh, you talk about mixed up. You little kids here with a third grade education can understand that. You got people that left this church can't understand it. Show them right in the Bible. Every quote Brother Branham made. No. Cows are flat. We're not oneness. We're not Jesus only. But they flock to it. Then to make themselves right, they scream, we're preaching two gods. He said, merciful God, how can it be? The ear, my brother and sister, was put to the door and the devil punched a hole in it. At the year of Jubilee. Yeah. When death is conquered and set aside, the dead can come forth and we can be changed immortal. Put the ear to the door. We bleed the prophet. We bleed the prophet. They don't bleed the prophet. Come on. If they believe, then I don't. They don't like me saying, hey, if you're right, I'm wrong, I'm going the other place. Oh, all God's children, God's shoes, all going to tramp over God's heaven. Who said so? Who said so? Every soul is mine, said the Lord. Every soul, even every serpent seed soul, should give an account. I'm just preaching simple truth. Yes, right here. What do they sow? You can scatter against God, become the enemy of God, worship in vain, lead others astray, build up a local church. Well, I'm not an organization, bless God. A local church independent me just as hell-bound as an organized church. And don't think it can be. You're just kidding yourself because Brother Branham said so. In fact, he said some of the independents are worse than the others. Huh? Oh, I read it. I know what I'm talking about. Now, let's just go over here to Peter, the third chapter, 2 Peter. There are some things in 2 Peter we might look at. Third chapter. The second epistle I write unto you now, and both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Hey, why did he say that before? Well, he says over here in verse 15, first chapter. He said, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have those things always in remembrance. We haven't followed cunning devised fables, but may none hear the power and coming of in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, right witnesses. And he said, what we saw cannot be compared to what is coming in the fulfillment. We saw the Alpha, the Omega is the real epiphany. There's things that prophets wanted to see are going to come to pass. And at that time, you watch those false prophets. There won't be very many, just a few of them. That's why I can't understand how the Branhamites can fall for false prophets. Mercy for God. It's false teachers. Now, if they're falling for false prophets, and the order of the day is false teachers, now watch carefully, then there's a compounding of sin. Huh? Because if you can't look at a false prophet and know it, how are you going to work on the teacher? You can't do it. You'll believe any old cruddy thing. Now watch, he says here again, I'm going to stir up your pure minds. You may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, the same thing he said over here, about something different. This is the presence, the appearing. This is different now. And the commandments of the apostles of our Lord and Savior. Now this is over here that he talks about the presence, which I would say is the vindicated presence of Almighty God, proving he's there. Now he's talking about the word that these men in the beginning brought forth. So there's going to be somebody at the end time. Knowing this first, there shall come scoffers in the last day. What are they going to scoff at? They're going to scoff at the prophet and his message and his teachers. And they're going to love the false anointed, false prophets. Branhamites and all are going to fall for it. Or they're going to fall for Shelley and Rourke and Regan and everybody else that mouths off. And Paul King get up and say some little thing. Bunch of hot air. Couldn't even qualify as a genuine gift in the believer's meeting. Yeah. I'm reading your scripture. You understand what I'm saying? Well, come on. It says after this here, the replication, this is my beloved son, the great appearing, the adoption. Now you see God coming back and doing the same thing in the pillar of fire through a prophet, because that's what Jesus did, not by himself. He didn't have a word. He didn't have a deed. That's all. Yep. Now, watch what it says. Knowing this first, they're going to come scoffers, walking in their own lust. Just doing what they want to do. Saying, where's the promise he's coming? Of his presence, where is it? Since the Father's fellowship, all things continue to work. Now watch, for this they are willingly ignorant of. Now this takes place, I believe, after Brother Branham left the scene, and during the scene he said, they know better. And he quoted Noah. Now I ask you a question. So listen carefully. Noah was what? A preacher of what? Righteousness. He was a preacher, right? Do you think for 1 minute, on day one, then 120 years later, that Noah changed his message? No. No. For 120 years, they had the same message, vindicated by God in the building of the ark, which meant nothing to them. And all they developed was a bunch of scoffers. If you think the message of his presence is not scoffed at in the judge, you're sitting here dumb, deaf, and God knows what, a bunch of dodos. But I know you're not. Because you had another witness in this pulpit, Brother Gregory, who was confronted with lots of promises, come up and then you can tell your side of the story. When he got there, he said, shut up and sit down. We're going to tell you. Well, you don't simply tell a man like Gregor. You're going to tell me either. Not that I want to be confrontational. Don't try to tell me that picture's a lie. Don't try to tell me outside of Scripture what Brother Branham brought here as a guide to Scripture. You can say anything other than being said right tonight. And here's being said right tonight. After the presence. After the prophet. Little tiddlywinkles will rise up to fool a bunch of people. But the big thing are those false teachers coming along with their jibes and their sneers. And they haven't even got what a false prophet's got. Shoo! And the people fall like tenpins. What's it all about? Where's the promise? Men that taught the presses. One guy out there in Phoenix. He acted just like Brother Branham. Looked just like him. Made all the signs just like him. You swear you're looking at Brother Branham hearing him preach. Right back in Pentecost. Where is it? And it says they're willingly ignorant. I didn't write this. I don't even understand it. I can't plumb it. I got nothing in my heart to describe it or my vocabulary. I don't understand it. I can't conceive how they would do it. Willingly ignorant. What could it mean other than they saw what we're looking at? They know this is Malachi 4. They know this is Elijah. They know that is confrontation. They know that is vindication. (Clears throat) How can they still be willing to be ignorant? Now listen what it says. Willing ignorant, that by the word of God, the heavens that were of old, and the earth standing out of the water in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. That was there 120 years when the message started. Now watch what it says. But the heavens and earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. By what word? This message. There's no other word. An end time message preceding the rapture and the great tribulation. It's kept in store like in a storehouse on ice, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now how godly are these up here who know this and then come against it? You are looking at the same confrontation of this man who confronted God. Now let's face it. The false prophets confront and come away with their own little tiddlywink gifts. That's all they are. Anybody can have them. Judas the devil had them. Little prophecies and some big ones just like Balaam. Another Balaam. And little mouthy teachers, little mousy mouthy teachers. They don't even talk in tongues or anything. They just mouth. That's what it says. They know better. But they're going to do it anyway. The fire that's restored, that's stored, and this earth that's stored for it, for the day of judgment by fire, and it's got to come because it's, the judge came down, and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 days is 1 year, 1,000 years is 1 day, and the Lord isn't slack concerning his promises. In other words, smarten up. When you think it's down the road, it could be tomorrow morning and it's all over. And the church is going on. Never mind the Branhamites. Let's get back to Pentecostal chaff. When Brother Branham got killed, the one great Mr. Duplessy that brought them all into Catholicism, he said, that judging man, he got judged himself, didn't he? Oh, yes, God judged William Branham, smeared him across the road. That made Mr. Duplessy very happy. Because you understand, ecumenism is the great love. Well, if you think love is just sex, it's quite possible you could have a better time of love in the arms of a first-rate whore than your own wife, if that's what you think it is. I had to say it. You know I was going to say it anyway. Because I don't pull my punches. Not for you nor for anybody. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I can find every word in the Bible. Maybe not just in one place. Don't worry, Brother Branham thought it. I said it. You can't mix it. You're either for God or against God. And the outward expressions, and he talks about their dress, and their forms of worship are exactly what's on the inside. See, the cock-a-burr, we merely think, here's what he thinks, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to heaven. That doesn't mean one thing you're going to heaven. No, sir. In other words, you can think you're going to heaven, that doesn't mean one thing. Anybody can think that. The Mormons got it all figured out. There's a line of women waiting for each one of them. Muhammad is the same way. Oh, yeah, they're going to heaven. I'm crude, I'll lay it on the line. I care less if you like it or not. Not my business to teach what you like or what I like. I'm laying it on the line. He said right here, it doesn't matter you think you're going to heaven. What has that got to do with it? Now, let's go a little further. No, sir, you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour of your life and still be lost and go to hell. The Bible says so, huh? Exactly right.
Say, Brother Branham. Oh, Brother Branham. Hold it, Brother Branham. No, you hold it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 and read it the way it's written. All right, here's what he says. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not the Holy Ghost. So just a minute, it doesn't say that. Yes, but it does. Yes, but it does. Because God is love. You ever got the Holy Ghost, brother, sister, you're sealed in. And if you should speak with tongues, it's real and genuine. And you won't make a mockery. You go to church order. And you won't put tongues above the word. Oh, we can't get blessing. We can't have real good church. We just can't have this. We can't have that. Unless we have this excitement. We're listening for tongues interpretation and little things that people can say. And 99% are lies. Or quote a little scripture. I guess I could embarrass maybe one person here tonight if I said what I know what happened in the church years ago. I won't bother embarrassing you, though. That's throwing it at you, ain't it? You think I couldn't? Make you feel awful silly. Some of the stuff you sat under, you thought. Well, so-and-so. Even Mammy and Pappy, they had to be right. Do they have to be right? How right was my father and my mother? I wouldn't be in their shoes for $100 billion, that's what I think. I tell you something. If you got a soft heart, better not have a soft head. Because the word of God comes down by your head, into your spirit and into your heart. Speak with tongues every hour and go to hell, and they're doing it. Look here. You're an outside person. You have five senses that contact the outside body. God gave you five senses not to contact him, but your earthly home. See, taste, feel, smell, and so on. We're going to quit. Because I got too much to read here over here. We're going to quit right here. All right? You're not too mad, are you? You're not too overjoyed? Just medium. That's nice. Just nice. Come on, they stood right before God and didn't even know. I used to sit there and hoping that somehow Brother Branham, servant and prophet of God, really, if I believed hard enough and I could swing him right around at times, make him look at me, wanting to get something from God, and didn't know that God was standing there for me. Right. Look at there. That's a picture. Yeah. They sing the song, "Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant." Why don't they sing it then? Everybody's conception's like the little kids. They said, "Who's Jesus?" "Oh, it's a little tiny baby in a manger." That's true. He was once, but not anymore. He's still on the throne. And his father's down here getting everything ready for him. Yeah. Today, that's coming. Yeah. And consequently for us. Yes. You know why? Because he purchased us with his own blood. Bought us back. Through the blood, he made us peers with God. Look him in the eye. That's right. Stand with the word. Isn't it funny how people say, "Well, I believe the blood and throw away the word." And here we are tonight. We believe the blood and take the word. Now, that's the way it should be. Because without the word, there wouldn't be any blood. Yeah, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. Oh, but just a minute. What can sanctify me for this last hour? Nothing but the word. Washed in the water of the Word. Washed in the blood. He's on. Washed in the blood. Washed in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Washed in the blood. Washed in the Word. Yes. Washed in the end time Word. Been brought to us through the blood of the Lamb. God Himself coming down. Dressing a bride. Yeah. Well, hey, I feel good.
Amen.
Yeah. Feel good. My brother Branson, he feel all scoured out. You know what the scouring is? Taking the scrub brush of the Word and getting all those cruddy things out of your mind. Making your spirit line up. Put it down in the heart. Yeah. Don't fall for Pentecost stuff. I know a man. Right in the days of Brother Branham. He kept praying. He's a preacher fellow. I'm going to let you go. But I just got to tell you this to let you know, hey, don't get fooled by things. He said, oh, he said, that I might have a heart as white as snow. Now, this is very strange. Now, I don't think the man was King David. But a woman turned around in prophecy and let him know he had a heart as white as snow. He's one of the biggest womanizers in the Northwest Territory. How can your heart be white as snow if it's full of adulteries? Huh? How can a heart that's not full of the revealed Word of God vindicated even talk about being white? My. I couldn't believe that. Any more than I could believe that a fresh killed lamb just 5 minutes ago was full of decaying worms. Fresh killed, brother, sister. Got a fresh heart. Well, that's right. Come back Sunday. We'll go on from there, and I'll go into the rapture, Kate, and read some things in there. Brother Branham said, show you all things are lining up. It's all over. Heavenly Father, as we go on our way, we pray that you'll bless each one of us. Take us to our homes, Lord, which we believe you will, safe and sound, and good sleep and good conscience, good heart toward you and toward each other, and determined as never before in our lives to make everything right with each other, wife to husband, children, if there's anything there, each other in the church, so nothing between. Because, Lord, we're already judged. And now what we sow, we're going to reap. And there's only one way, Lord, to stop the flow of the full fruit of what we have sown, although we will pay a price, is to stop the thing through the Word which you have commanded concerning it. What we do, if there's anything to do, which many times there are, to get all of our lives right with each other, because of this Word, because of your presence, because we love you, because we believe, because that's our conduct. Yes, that's what it is. This will bring forth gracious fruit, even unto eternal life. What manner of people we are, Lord, and we ought to be. Cleanse us tonight, Lord, as never before, and for one reason. Put in your Word, O God, and with such dynamism and force that there is no life outside of it. So we can say with Paul, truly we have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live, because that Word is in there living, and now it has to come forth. Whatever you desire, Lord, even as the prophet said, I always do what I want to do, I always want to please Him. My God, here was the Apostle Paul, and here was William Branham saying the same thing, and here we are in between. Surely, Lord, there isn't one of us that can reach to that height where you want us, that Word in us, and always do what we want to do, which is to please you. Take the whole world out of our hearts, minds, and lives, and every creed and every dung. Until that beautiful day spring on high, in as it were like a little babe formed within us growing to manhood, grow within us and take over our lives to bring us right to the presence of the tree of life and the blessing of Almighty God, where mortality goes to immortality, corruptibility goes to incorruptibility,
And there is a bride that gathers together here and to the wedding supper, to the great reincarnation. We crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen and amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.